honor you in this place, God. Lord, we want to honor you with our lives. We want to honor you from our hearts this evening, God. Lord, you're deserving of all glory and all honor and all power and strength. Dominion and authority belongs to you, Jesus. God, tonight we just come and drink, Lord, from your living waters, God. We come and lay ourselves down, Jesus. We're desperate for you, God, tonight. Lord, we're desperate for you for 2015. Lord, we need you in this year, God. Father, I thank you that you've drawn all of us this evening to your presence. Lord, to that place of meeting, God, that place of holiness, Lord, that place where we, like Moses, can take off our shoes this evening. Because we're standing on holy ground. God, we just come and worship you with our hearts. Not our minds, Lord, not our intellect, God, but we worship you from the bottom of who we are. From the depths of who we are, Lord. We cry out to you this evening, Jesus. Lord, our greatest desire right now is to hear your voice, Lord. To know what you are saying to each one of us. Lord, for some you are calming the storm, Lord. For some you are raising people again, Lord, into their purposes, Lord. For some you are encouraging them to go, 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 and to keep going. Lord, we just want to respond tonight from our hearts. We want to respond to your call upon our lives. That is so great, Lord. We cannot understand it. We cannot fully comprehend how you would call us as people to serve you and to worship you. We thank you for the mystery, Lord, of the gospel tonight. Lord, we thank you that it's real, that we can meet you right now. We open our ears, we open our eyes, we open our hearts to hear exactly what you are saying to each one here tonight, in Jesus' name. Take your seats. Good evening, church. Just give someone next to you a nice greeting, a nice warm welcome, a nice smile, just to cheer someone up. Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're looking good." Guys, you can use the opportunity. Don't abuse it, just use it. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Alistair Kingwell. It's such a privilege to be called into the ministry to pastor this church. I must say, this evening I just realized again, how can God send an English person to Bloemfontein, you know? Who werkt die Here? He works in mysterious ways, but it's just such a privilege. I think I'm going to struggle here with my notes, with the wind blowing through here. But God is good, amen. I come from a farm in the Karoo, Graaffreinet area. So for those of you who don't know me, you're going to get to know me sometime this year, hopefully. But I was a very shy guy. You know, I used to, when the people came to visit our farm, you know, when you grow up on the farm in the Karoo, the nearest farm is like 10, 15 k's away. So that means the nearest person apart from your family is 10, 15 k's away. So you don't get used to people when you're growing up on a farm. So I used to hide behind the couch when people came to visit. I was so shy of people. I couldn't look people in the eyes. I used to always shake hands like this. I would look down. I couldn't, and my parents, I'll never forget it. They say to me like, you know, you must look at the people, look at the uncle and the auntie. And I think it was only in standard 7 when the Lord got hold of me that he delivered me from the fear of man and the shyness that I had. But God has just got an amazing sense of humor. He calls you know, an English person to Bloemfontein. He calls a shy boy to be a pastor. It's like amazing. I was an engineer for a while, by the way, but God had other plans. So I want to say to you tonight that God is calling you. Amen. God is calling you. So turn to someone next to you and say, God is calling you. We're the first years in the house this evening. Let's just stick up your hands and give them a warm welcome. It's just amazing to have you guys here. You guys are so young. You guys are, you don't know how young you are. I mean, I'm double your age. I can't believe it, eh? I'm 18 times 2 plus 1 and then plus 1 this year again, okay? I can't believe I'm going to be 38. But anyway, I feel 22, okay? Especially with you guys around. It's wonderful to have you. You guys that are first years, I want to say God has got a plan for your life from now. Amen? Not from when you're second year or third year. He's got a plan for your life right now. And if you want it, He's got it. Amen? Tonight I want to talk about power. Just tell, look to someone next to you and just show them. Look, I haven't got many muscles, okay? But show them your muscle now. Guys, you can show off. We're going to talk about power tonight. Amen. Some people need to go to the gym this year and then you'll have some power. I want to ask you, what immediately comes to your mind when you think about power? What immediately comes to mind? Does that come to mind? You know, the remote age that we're living in? A lot of power in the hand. They just press that power button on your phone, on and off, on your iPad, your computer, your remote control. Or maybe this comes to mind when you think about power. Muscles. He-Man. Anyone heard about He-Man? That was like when we were small. I don't know if you guys have. Anyway. Or maybe this comes to mind. The babe with the power. Luckily, I didn't show a picture there, eh, guys? Or maybe our friend, the person that we love, or the people that we love, or the company that we love. Maybe that comes to mind. I don't know how much power they've got. Luckily tonight we've got some power. But you never know how much power we're going to have this year. Or maybe that comes to mind when you think about power. Or maybe that comes to mind. Anyone know what car that is? We're the guys in the house. Come on, we're the car lovers. 918 Spider. Porsche 918. The fastest car on the planet at the moment. 0-60 miles per hour in 2.2 seconds. Want one of those? Want some power? But you see, there are many powers in the world today. Amen? There are many powers that we have to deal with. And it's evident everywhere. Ephesians 6 verse 12 says the following. It says, Paul writes and he says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. We do not fight this fight of faith. We do not live the Christian life against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. You see, that if we look at the powers in the world today, there's the power of money. Anyone heard of that thing? You know, money is power. Money has got a lot of power. Material, wealth, possessions, they've got a lot of power. Wouldn't you agree? Some of you haven't been caught up in that yet. You're still young. Sexual immorality, lust, has got a lot of power. The internet. Anyone heard of the power of knowledge? You know, it's not how much you know, how little you know, it's how much knowledge you have. It's power. Knowledge is power. Wisdom is power. There's the power of leadership, especially abused leadership. All of us have grown up in homes. We have a mom, we have a dad. We've grown up in schools. There's been a headmaster, there's been a teacher. There's always leaders in your life. And when leaders abuse their power, it's dangerous. So leadership has power. See, we cannot fight this fight. We cannot live this life, guys, without a greater power in our lives. We cannot live this life in the natural. Amen. There's so many powers out there. There's so much stuff that pulls us in to life that we cannot afford to live without a greater power. We cannot live in the natural. We cannot live as we are born. We're going to succumb to the powers of the world. Amen. And anyone been there? Anyone succumbed to the powers of the world? Whether it's money, the love of money, whether it's lust. All of us have got an answer to this. Whether it's knowledge, just wanting to have lots of knowledge and lots of wisdom and know lots of stuff, because you know knowledge is power. So we succumb to that temptation. We succumb to, when we're either in a leadership position or under a leadership position, we succumb to that abuse of power. See, tonight I want to talk about the power of God. Because you and I need this power. We need a power in us that's greater than ourselves. And you know what, tonight, friends, the good news is that this power is available. Amen. And it's not only available, it's essential to your life. It's essential for your life. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, he sent them out in Luke chapter 19, and they came back, and then they were rejoicing, and they were thinking, yes, this is amazing. He says to them, listen now, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. They are amazed that Jesus sending them out, and he just sent them out. He didn't say, I'm giving you power before, and maybe he did, but yeah, after he's confirming, he's saying, listen, I'm sending you out and I've given you power. That's why you could see heaven plundered. I mean, hell plundered and Satan fell like lightning. Then he says, nevertheless, rejoice that your names are written in the book of life. Don't rejoice that you have this power. It is essential for your life. And you're going to need it, but don't rejoice in that. Don't focus on that. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life. But nevertheless, I'm giving you this power. I'm giving you authority. Anyone know the difference between power and authority? A nice example to use is a traffic officer. Does a traffic officer have power to stop a massive truck? Doesn't have the power. He's got the authority. He's got delegated authority. That truck can run over him, but you know what? The whole of the government will be behind that officer, and that truck driver will not last too long. Maybe not in this country, but you see, Jesus doesn't only give authority, he gives us authority, and that includes power. That includes his power, the very power that if he was there, then things would happen according to him being there. Amen. That's why it says, I don't only give you, and this word authority includes the power, it includes everything to overcome the enemy. And he says, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Jesus gave this to his disciples. So what has Jesus given to us? That's what I want to look at tonight. What has Jesus truly given to us? And maybe you're at this place in your life and you have never known this. You're just carrying on living your life like I was many years ago. Just thought, you know, I'm a good person. I go to church. I go to a traditional church, and that's going to get me to heaven. That's going to get me to live in the kingdom of God. Until I realized what God had in store for me. And it was a process. It was a journey. And we're going to look at this journey a little bit tonight. Are you ready? Turn to someone next to you and say, God is ready to impart into your life. Keep your heart open. Amen. What has Jesus given us? And I want to say to the students especially, you are going to need this to overcome in these 4 or 5 years of your life. You're going to need this because it's on campus. The powers and principalities and the rulers of darkness are on campus. And they are out with one assignment, is to take you out. The devil hates us. The devil hates you, and especially if you're a believer, the devil hates you even more because you're a threat to his kingdom. But you're going to need this power that God has given us. Romans 1 verse 16 says the following. Paul writes to the Romans, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. He says there's this gospel, guys. Romans, you've got to hear this. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm writing to you. That's why I'm preaching to you, because I'm not ashamed, because I've experienced this power in my life. first thing God gives us, guys, is power to be saved. Isn't that amazing? You know, if we're struggling to be saved, we've got to ask the question, do we understand the power of God? The power of God is greater than any other power in this world. We can be saved because of one thing, the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? The good news is that you cannot do anything to save yourself. That's such good news for us as people. Amen. We cannot do anything to save ourselves. Jesus Christ came to pay the price for us. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He rose from the dead. He conquered death and the sting of death. And we cannot do anything. We do not do anything or dare not do anything to save ourselves. Jesus came to do it. There's power in the simplicity of the gospel. And I'll never forget when my life changed once and for all. These evangelists came to our school. I was in standard 7. I was grade 9. 15 years old. God had started to prepare my heart because I received a Bible, a little pocket Bible in standard 6 in grade 8. And so I started to read this Bible, and I knew I went to church. I went to a traditional church, but I never had a personal relationship with Jesus. I knew about God. And I did all the right things, and I wasn't like sleeping around or doing drugs or, you know, getting drunk every night. Obviously, I suppose standard 6 boys those days didn't do it. These days, I guess they do it. But I wasn't living the bad life, like, you know. But in myself, I was nowhere, according to God. These evangelists came to preach the gospel and said, listen, yeah, Jesus is the one who's going to save you. You cannot save yourself. And he said to me, or not to me, but to all of us, if there's no change in your life, there's no Jesus. And I realized, whoa, I think I'm going to heaven. I'm not quite sure. I think I'm going to heaven. But there was no change. There was no assurance. There was nothing to say that I had said, Jesus, you save me. Everything in me said, I'm going to save myself. I'm going to live a good life. I'm going to try to be the best person that I can be. And God got a hold of me. And that night, I committed my life to the Lord. I waited for my birthday. It was no altar call, nothing, no church service. The seeds were just sown in my life. And I waited for my birthday because I knew this is the day I'm never going to forget. 19th of March, 1992. I was 15 years old. I'm giving my age away here. Gave my life to Jesus in my hostel bed, and I prayed a prayer, and I wrote my name in the back of that Bible, and I knew I am born again. That's one thing I knew. Didn't have all the other bells and whistles to go with it, which I'll talk about now, but I was born again, and I knew I'm going to heaven. If I die tomorrow morning or tonight, I'm going to heaven. I'm assured of it. I just knew it, that I knew that I knew. I couldn't explain to anyone. You see, the simplicity of the gospel. The power of God unto salvation. Salvation is a journey. Turn to someone next to you and say, salvation is a journey. But you know where that journey starts, friends? It starts when you make that decision to give your life to Jesus Christ. It starts when you make that decision to say, Jesus, I cannot save myself. I cannot get saved in my own power. I need the power of the gospel. That's what I did. I experienced the same power. Because it says, for everyone who believes, and I believed, I read the word of God said to me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I believed that I am a sinner. I knew that I was a sinner, but I believed in the power of the gospel. I believed that Jesus came to die for me and to save me. Paul writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 1. He says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I love these scriptures. Not only does God give us the power to be born again, he gives us the power to continue on this journey of salvation. Amen? It starts with the born again process. It starts with saying yes to Jesus, but it continues because, yeah, he says, for us who are being saved, it's the present tense. We are continually being saved. It's not like we were and we're going to be. We are still being. We're born again, yes. That's not a process. That's not a journey. You know, a birthing experience, anyone, recently we've had a few babies getting born in our church, okay? The birthing thing happens and it's over. Praise the Lord, ladies, that you don't have to give, that birthing isn't too much. It's a little bit of a process, but it happens within a few hours, okay? It's not a lifelong process, giving birth. But the process of that child growing up is a lifelong process. Isn't that the same in the kingdom of God? It starts with the born-again experience. It starts with giving your life to Christ and saying, listen, I'm a little baby. I know nothing. Where? And you complain and you go on, but you're a baby. You're on fire many times. But you don't know much. So you need the message of the cross in your life. Amen. You need the message of the cross continually. And that's why tonight's message is exciting. Because you know, some of you guys have been saved for a while. I want to ask for a show of hands. Some people have been saved for more than 10 years. Some people 15. Some maybe 2 or 3 years. But you know what often happens? The message of the cross becomes, it happened a couple of years ago. I'm saved. So what? Going on with my life. But you see, the power of the cross, it's foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That's bad news tonight. Some of us are perishing. Some of us don't know. Just need some water here, please. Some of us don't know that we are being saved. We're not sure if we're being saved. We maybe gave our lives to Jesus. You know, an altar call happens and we give our lives to Jesus. But what happens after that? Are you in the process of being saved? And do you know the power of God unto your salvation? You see, we need to apply this power in our lives. The other night we had the privilege, my little daughter, she's 2 and a bit years old, and she's struggling to sleep at night. She's keeping my wife awake so many times. And I'm just saying, Lord, please, she needs to sleep because, you know, I want a happy wife. You know, happy wife, happy life kind of thing, eh? Tired wife, not nice life. So I just said, and I was a bit blasé about it. And the other night we just realized, you know, we're going to have to take oil and anoint her and pray over her bed because she's getting nightmares and waking up and whatever. So last night we just decided, listen here, we're going to take authority now. God doesn't want this girl to just struggle and wake up and keep us up. So we prayed for her and we took oil. And now Matthew, he's 4 years old, my son. And so he says, no, he's going to pray with us. So we said, yes, come, let's pray for Caitlin. So we stand around her bed and we pray for her and we anoint her with oil. I pray and then sort of I wait for my wife to pray and then she doesn't pray. And then I said to Matthew, why don't you pray? So Matthew starts to pray and he says, thank you, Lord, that Caitlin is going to sleep so well with this oil on her head. You know, like, and she's going to sleep. And he says it again and again. She's going to sleep so well with this oil on her head. And then I start to pray in tongues. Because a couple of years ago, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I could speak in tongues. I can still pray in tongues. And so I started to pray in tongues. And yeah, my son starts to pray in tongues after me. And we like, and he's like praying in tongues, like loudly. And I'm thinking, obviously he's copying me and he doesn't understand everything. But hey, does a kid do that? That's like not natural. That's just the power of God that's operating through us and it's just operating into our kids. Because we are being saved and we are on this journey. And why do we need to let the devil keep stealing from us? Amen. It's the power unto salvation for us who are being saved. I'm still on point number one, by the way. I'm enjoying myself. Are you enjoying it out there? Shake somebody next to you and say, God's power is in this place. Not only does God give us powers to start the salvation journey, He gives us power to continue the salvation journey. He also gives us power to complete the salvation journey. 1 Peter 1 says, and through your faith, God is protecting you by His power until you receive the salvation which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. Isn't that amazing? That's the end of our salvation. You know what that is? That's perfection. That's completion. That's when we see Jesus face to face, the last day. It's ready to be revealed in the last day, judgment day. There's a scary doctrine going around at the moment that, you know, once saved, always saved. And it's very scary. Because you know what? I can just carry on with my life. Once saved, I can still do what I want to do. I'm fine. God's forgiven me of all my sins. So I'll just carry on. And you know what? We can backslide. We can turn our backs upon God. Amen. It's not that difficult to turn away from God. Because there's powers of darkness operating. There's powers to keep us out of relationship. There's powers to destroy our intimacy with God. But you see, the good news tonight, friends, is that God gives us the power not only to start the journey, not only to continue on this journey, but to complete the journey. But you know what it takes? Faith. We must believe. Because that's where this other message says, you know what, it's fine. It doesn't matter what you do. It's all God's work, and it's not all God's work. Because God's into relationship. Amen. So your faith, you must bring your faith to the party. That's why it says, through your faith, God is protecting you. You're part of the relationship. You've still got to play. And you know what that means? One word, faithfulness. Anyone know what faithfulness means? Full of faith all the time. Being full of faith all the time. That's why faith is the only thing that pleases God. No works or anything like that. Works come out of a place of faith, and you must do good works. But it's all about the relationship. But you know what? He gives us power. I want to say it's not about how you start the journey, it's how you end. I'm so inspired by these guys like Angus Buchan and Michael Cassidy, these great men in this nation, men of faith that have lived their lives, and they are just more passionate than they were when they were younger. They're very much more wiser as well. But they've got so much to impart. I mean, I sat at Michael Cassidy, one of his groups, his encouraging groups, the end of last year, and just amazing to sit at this man's feet, 70 plus years old, still serving God, still running, and his body almost can't keep up with. He's been diagnosed with some kind of a sickness he heard the other day, but you know, he's just like, just running for God. Because he understands that there's a power that Christ has made possible for us to complete this journey. The second thing, not only does God give us power unto salvation, He gives us power to live the life He's called us. 2 Peter 1:3 says, by His divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know Him, the one who has called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. If ever there was a time, friends, for godly people to stand up, it's now. Amen. If ever there was a time for godly people to stand up, it's now. Godliness is not a thing that everyone is doing these days. Because there are all sorts of powers operating to make sure that we're living everything but the life God has called us to live. But the Bible says tonight there's good news. By His divine power, God has given us things. He's given us tools to live the godly life. 2 Corinthians 13, for though He was crucified in weakness, yet He lives by the power of God. Paul talking about Christ Himself. For we also are weak in Him, but we shall live with Him by the power of God toward you. Isn't it amazing to know that we have a Savior, we have a Lord who can identify with our weaknesses? Isn't that amazing that He was tempted? He had the same challenges that we face on this earth. He was vulnerable, and that's what that weakness talks about. He was vulnerable. He was tempted. He wasn't, you know, subject to, he couldn't wield His authority. Well, He could have, but He chose not to live as God. He chose to live as man, even though He was fully God and fully man. He chose to die. He chose to go the full way and suffered and died on the cross. So He understands our weaknesses, and therefore He gives us that power to say no to temptation. Amen. Gives us that power when we are weak to say no when things are getting tempting. Temptation is not a sin, okay? It's what you do with that temptation, but temptation will always be there. Temptation comes in the form of reaction many times. You know, when we're made angry and then we react and we get angry, then we've fallen for that temptation. Rather than just to keep our mouth shut and just to be meek. Especially when we're in a position where we have the authority and the power to actually crush someone. Like, for instance, in a marriage. You'll learn this when you get married. Ask the married couples. You have the power, both woman and man have got the power to crush that other person. And sometimes you've got to just keep quiet when you're challenged. Sometimes you just have to esteem the others higher than yourself. Not sometimes, all the time. But you have the power to crush that person. Same with your children. Same with, if you're in a position of authority, you have the power to crush someone. If you don't just keep your mouth shut sometimes. He gives us the power for godly living. And some of us, like someone I know this week, had to have the power to just restrain himself when he wasn't focusing, driving into the garage and, you know, bumped his car quite badly and then just heard this big crash and what happened now? And then my whole front fender is like dented and now I have the choice to get angry with myself or the situation and just go and get so upset and just, I don't know what I was going to do, but I just thought I'm going to choose to just be silent now. And I just called my wife and I said, just come and have a look here. She says, what? I said, no, just have a look. And she says, And if I had done that, you would have been so cross with me, hey? But you know what? I'm not cross with you now. Because I would have. I would have probably been so upset with my wife and killed her. And then it happens to me. But praise the Lord for godly wives, you know. I've still got to get there. My wife's there already. Godliness. Power for godly living. Restraining yourself. Saying no. It's called meekness. Power under control. When you're in a leadership position, when you're in a position where you can just crush someone and you just realize, just be meek now. God has given us power for godly living. 2 Timothy 1, 7-8, the favorite scripture that all of us quote. But look at the context. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We love to quote that scripture. Hey, power, 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 yes, and love and sound mind, cool. Let's go do this thing. But Paul writes to Timothy, he says, therefore, because of this, do not be ashamed, Timothy, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. Not only has God given us power for salvation and to complete the journey and to live a godly life, He's given us power, friends, to partake and to be obedient into His cause to save the world. Amen. Isn't that amazing? To suffer for the cause of the gospel. And, you know, in South Africa, we don't understand this. And we're getting to that place, I guess, when Christians are going to start suffering for the gospel. But for now, it's such a free country. We can preach the gospel. It's awesome to have a school hall like this and we can preach the gospel. Isn't that amazing? Let's just give Jesus a shout for that. That there's still freedom in this nation. Amen. But in other nations, there's not that freedom. And when you preach the gospel, you got a gun against your head and that's it. And you stand up for Jesus. Just imagine the martyrs that suffered. Imagine what they must have gone through. But they had this power to share in the sufferings for the cause of Christ. This week, we are going to suffer just a little bit, some of us who want to fast for 3 days. You know, 3 days is a long time not to eat. It's weird. You know, every time I fast, it's like a choice to suffer. Because yes, God is going to, I mean, I once ran. Okay? I was a runner, so I fasted for 36 hours once. And I'll never forget, God just said to me, I must run this evening. The whole day I hadn't eaten, and He just said, go for an hour run. And I was like, okay, Lord, let me go for this. I haven't really got faith that I'm going to make this, but I feel quite good, so let me go. And I went for this run and felt as if I had food that whole day. And God sustained me. I mean, I didn't feel bad after that. I felt a bit tired, but I was quite fit, so I could handle it. But every time I fast, I just know, you know, I'm not always going to feel good. It's nice to feel good when you fast sometimes. But for 3 days, you're not necessarily going to feel good. But sometimes we've got to choose to identify a little bit with the suffering out there where some people don't have food to eat for 10 days. Or however long, they don't know how long they're not going to eat. And it's not about the suffering. It's not about but it's just to say, God, I'm not living by food alone. I'm not living by comforts. I'm living by your word. But you see, sometimes we are so comfortable. Sometimes it's very comfortable not to partake in the cause of the gospel because we're going to be out a little bit, you know. Ons gaan nie in die in crowd wees nie. I think now it's almost cool. You're still in the in crowd if you love Christ in this nation, maybe. Imagine you're not in the in crowd. Are you going to suffer? The good news is that when we commit to say, God, your cause is awesome. He gives us that power. We don't need to fear. We can have that love and that power and the sound mind to know this is God and He's in control of everything. So prayer and fasting help sometimes. Waking up a little bit earlier in the morning, then you realize, you know, it's such a passion that you have for Christ and His cause. And you pray for souls and you pray for the kingdom to come. There's a power that comes upon your life that you've never known before unless you step out and say, Christ, your cause is all I'm living for. There's power in that. Then lastly, Acts 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power. Dynamite, dynamic, working, dunamis power. And the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. I'll never forget when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. As I said, I was such a shy guy and I used to really not, you know, find it easy to connect with people or to talk with strangers especially. But when I got filled with the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit, I just had this boldness in me that I thought, God, this is definitely you because it's not at all me. I'm like not the person to speak to people. But then I started to witness. When I received this power, I experienced what Acts 1 verse 8 says. I couldn't stop wanting to ask people, do you know the ground? I'll never forget, I was jogging with one guy. And I see when you're running, it's quite nice because you get a guy tired. And then he like has to just say yes to whatever you're saying, you know, like. No, he was actually fitter than me, but so we were running together and I just felt the Lord saying to me, ask this guy, because I knew this guy wasn't saved. I knew he partied every night. This guy was amazing. He could party through the night and then run a 10K that next morning without sleeping. And then he would like come first or second or fifth or whatever. It's just amazing. But we used to run together and this guy was like, I just said to him, listen, have you ever heard of the greatest man that ever walked the earth? I just used this angle, you know. And he says, you're probably talking about Jesus, eh? I was like, yeah. He said, that's so interesting because someone else asked me the question as well. So I think Jesus is on my case. But I was just, it was just so nice to share in boldness what he'd done in my life. Share about Jesus Christ, the greatest man that walked the face of the earth. And that guy got saved in our cell group. A couple of weeks later, we invited him to the Encounter One. And I want to say, come to the Encounter One. It's going to be amazing. Bring other people. But he got saved in our cell group. And he experienced the power that I'd experienced because I could witness to him. You know, when we witness to people, we're just transferring. It's not our power. It's the power that he has given to us. And we can just tell other people, this power changed my life. The other day, Matthew and I, we were sitting there at the table outside our house and I was singing that song, you know, that Bethel song, For the Sake of the World. And he knows that CD. He listened to that CD like from when he was 2 years old or 1 year. He's now 4 years old. So for 2 years, he's been listening to Bethel. He knows those songs. So I was just singing, For the Sake of the World, burn like a fire in me. You know, and then he's like, he turns to me and he says, Daddy, what's fire in me? What's a fire in me? And I'm thinking, how am I going to explain this? You know, we're sitting there in the bra areas there. So I said, it's not a real fire, but it's like this fire that's in you. You know, when Jesus touches your life, I was like trying to explain to him this fire that's in us, and it's for the sake of the world. It's not for us. It's difficult to explain to a kid, and I just know that somehow he's going to pick up the fire that's in me because I know that's the only way to transfer it to a kid. Amen? Monkey see, monkey do. Pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Pray for sister, put oil on sister, put oil on sister. The oil will help her to sleep well, okay? If he's got faith for that, that's fine, as long as sissy's sleeping well. You see, there's a power, there's a dynamic working power that comes upon us when the Holy Spirit has come. I know my life is never the same again. My life never was the same again. And I remember trying to tell my dad about the gospel. And I was like, to tell your parents is so challenging. Now I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, how am I going to tell him? Like, we know each other well, and he knows me, and I know him. And then I'm like, we're riding on the farm there. And then you wait for this opportunity, to arise. And you think this opportunity is just never going to come. And we're going to go home now. And then, the opportunity is gone. I have to do it while we're in the bucky together. And then eventually you just realize, I've got to now say something. And so you just say something. I'm like, how do you experience God, Dad? And then we start talking about heaven and hell. And then I start to testify. And he's a little bit open. But I'm so nervous to share this. It's so weird. But you see, when the Spirit comes upon you, you have that boldness. And you share. And I told my story, and my dad said, I can see it's real in your life. I can see it's God is working, but I'm glad for you. That was like his way of saying, it's not for me. He didn't say that. My dad's very diplomatic. So he just said, I'm so glad for you. But you know what? Some people are going to say, I'm glad for you, and they're going to walk away, but that's fine. Some people are going to say, what must I do to be saved? That's great. Lead them to salvation. God has given us a power to be witnesses. My last scripture, Colossians 2. And you, and this is for you guys all. This is for all of us. This is a summary of the gospel, guys. If we can embrace this and we can take this story to the world will be a better place. And it's for all of us tonight, but it's for specifically for some people here. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, that's you, that's me, it's all of us. We were all dead in our trespasses, we were all dead in the uncircumcision of our flesh. He, Jesus, has made us alive together with him, having forgiven you all your trespasses. Can I say to someone tonight, Jesus has forgiven your sin. Amen. Jesus has already forgiven you. That thing you've done this week or the last while or whatever, he's forgiven it. And he's making you alive. He's made you alive. You've got to receive it. Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. Isn't that amazing? Not only on the cross have we been made alive, have we been forgiven? He's wiped out the thing that's saying you're not worth it. The thing that's saying you're not good enough. The thing that's saying you'll never make it. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And he has the punchline. He has disarmed principalities and powers. Can I have an amen? He has disarmed principalities and powers, making a public spectacle of them, triumphing over everything. The power of the cross. The power of the cross, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want the band to come forward this evening, to come up. As we end off this evening, some of you know that song, Oh, the Wonderful Cross. Anyone know that song, Oh, the Wonderful Cross? Some people. What does it say? It says, oh, the wonderful cross. But then it says something. It says, bids me come and die so that I might live. The wonderful cross bids me come and die so that I can live. Jesus Christ has died on the cross, that our sins can die. Amen. That we can die. That the old Alistair can die. John Piper, in his sermon, the end of one of his sermons, he says the following. He says, sin is defeated at the cross, yet sin remains to be fought. Satan was defeated at the cross, yet Satan remains to be fought. And for this fight, may God answer Paul's prayer in our lives. May we know the power of God toward us who believe. Resurrection power now to live and die for the glory of Christ. There's still a battle to be won. The battle has been won, but it's still to be won. Amen. If there wasn't a battle, no need for power. Amen. guess what? There's a battle in each of our minds. There's a battle in each of our lives. A battle for purity, a battle for holiness, a battle for obedience. There's a battle for a passion for God in our lives, because you know that passion sometimes is not a fire. It doesn't burn like a fire. There's a battle for a consecrated life. There's a battle for a sold out life for Christ. That's why we need power, friends. That's why we need the power of Jesus Christ. Some of us need a power in our lives tonight that you need to make that commitment to be born again. You need to make that commitment to not only just say a little prayer, but it's a heart's commitment to say, Jesus, I'm living for you. And I had to wait 9 years from when I was born again to when I got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, where I could be a witness. Because in those 9 years, I was not a witness. It was me and Jesus. And we were going, I was going to heaven. I was happy about that. But I didn't mean much in someone else's life. I couldn't tell them about what Jesus did in my life. And it wasn't his fault. It's just I wasn't positioned to experience the fullness of his power. And God is so gracious. God takes us on a journey and he gets us to a place where you get nagged by God to come to this weird church. I was freaked out by shofar. All these happy clappies. I used to sit right at the back of the church. I thought, I'm going to lose my mind here. But eventually God took me through a process of just saying, come to the river. And I got filled with the Holy Spirit, got baptized. I'll never forget it. When I came out the water, I knew I'm living for Christ now. This is not the new Alistair anymore. This is the new Alistair. It's not the old Alistair. And so salvation is so powerful. Salvation is so much more than just a little commitment. It's a lifestyle. But some of us need to start it tonight. Some of us need to come back to that place of burning like a fire in me by Jesus. Amen. Some of us need to come to that place of being a witness. For whatever it is God is saying to you, tonight is an opportunity to say, Jesus, thank you for your power. Thank you that you've given me power to live this life you've called me to live.